Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Christian author Gary Thomas. We've heard for years that hurting people hurt people. While we've each been wounded at some point, what traits would you say characterize a toxic person versus someone safe or emotionally healthy?
Not every toxic person exhibits the same kind of traits. And I want to make that clear. Well, every toxic person is difficult. Not every difficult person is toxic. But some things to look out for. First would be controlling behavior. They want you to do what they want you to do. They don't respect your own right. It's the opposite of God, who says, choose you this day whom you will serve. It's more like, you're going to do what I want you to do. A murderous spirit is another one that might sound melodramatic, but by that I mean you just see a lot of destruction in their life. As God is a God of life, Satan is one who brings death. They destroy family gatherings. They destroy office environments. They destroy your own peace, your joy, your sense of confidence. They often put people against each other. When you look back in their life and you just see this murder after murder after murder of relationships and personal qualities and whatnot, you start to say, this person just brings toxicity wherever they go. A third marker is that they love to hate. In Colossians 3, Paul gives us an example that we should pursue kindness, gentleness, compassion, faith, and love. But then he warns us away, and these are the toxic markers: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and lying. Differences, we all can do some in that last list, but we usually hate it. We want to repent of it. We say, Lord, help, relieve me from that. A toxic person, they come alive when they can express their anger. They come alive when they can express malice, wanting to bring someone down. That's when they feel most energetic, and really, they're at their best when they're doing their worst. So if you see those kinds of things, it should at least be some red flags that there's something to be concerned about here.
Ah, Gary, what a great list. Those character traits can be frightening. What about some healthy traits? You mentioned some briefly.
You know, I love in the Christian classics, they often say, just do the opposite of what the vice is that you're trying to get rid of. And so when Paul talks about compassion and kindness and gentleness and patience and love, those are all nurturing qualities that I need to be patient with people instead of irritable with people, gentle with people, not expecting perfection, wanting to encourage and show compassion. That means feel for them. Anger just wants to express my feelings toward them. Compassion is, how do I understand how you're feeling and feel for you to encourage you?
Thank you. In your book, When to Walk Away, you basically say cutting ties from a toxic person is probably best for our well-being. Jesus modeled that, and yet he clearly kept one toxic person close to his side, his future betrayer, Judas. Yes. Why do you think he did this, and what strategy can we use when it comes to toxic people in our lives, Gary?
Well, to accomplish Jesus' ultimate purpose to go to the cross, Judas was the tool that was needed for that betrayal to happen. And so we know that Jesus wasn't caught by surprise by what Judas did, because he released him to go do it. And I think ultimately what it means, Tracy, is that our own comfort shouldn't be at the top. Throughout the book, what I stress is the importance of mission. I talk about getting away from toxic people, not so much for our psychological health, although I believe in that. I'm just not a counselor. That's not what I'm addressing. It really is about preserving our Christian mission. In this case, a toxic person actually served Christ's mission, and so he was willing to endure it. It's the same way where Paul at times says, I'm willing to go to Rome even though I know I'm going to be imprisoned. But at other times, no, you don't get to beat me today. I'm a Roman citizen. How dare you beat me? It really was about the mission that these people sought. And if they felt like this person would help move that mission forward, they weren't going to get in the way. But if this wasn't God's mission at the time, they would willingly walk away.
Wow, that just stood out to me so much as far as a truth that sometimes we don't recognize because we're so blinded by the shock of the toxicity that we get a little overwhelmed.
Well, it happens all the time. And I think the key is just to realize what God has called us to do. Nehemiah's last words in his book by his name, Nehemiah, has sort of become a life verse for me when he says, "Remember me with favor, my God." And so it's understanding what our mission is and what our call is so that we can know how to handle the toxic person. The real danger of leaving a toxic person in your life is if he's destroying your joy. Well, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. If they're gaslighting you so you feel like you're going crazy, without any sense of self-confidence, you're not going to feel like you can reach out to someone else or offer words of encouragement to someone else or even share the gospel with someone else. And so if someone is destroying you bit by bit, which is really sort of a definition of a toxic person, it's not so much you preserving yourself as preserving the calling that God has given you. Because if you're torn apart, your ability to minister is torn apart as well. And that's where I think we make that distinction, that if I'm able to keep ministering, I can put up with this person, but when they get in the way of me doing what God has called me to do, or me being who God has called me to be, that's when the red lights have to go off. That's when I need to take some action, which could be to walk away.
Yeah, great insight, Gary. Jesus shared love and truth with the woman at the well while also telling her to sin no more. Yet Jesus did not always confront the sin in a person's life. And you kind of just touched on that. He wouldn't have gotten anything else done, right? So what takeaway do you have for us on knowing when and how to confront a person living out destructive behaviors?
Yeah. Well, Jesus gave us a hint in Matthew 7:6, when he says, "Don't give what is holy to dogs or cast your pearl before swine, or else they'll turn and tear you to pieces." There's nothing wrong with pearls. There's nothing wrong with holy food, which is what he's talking about. There was literally kosher food in the Greek. Those are both good things, but toxic people can't appreciate it, and they'll even resent it. So I would say if you're at a family gathering and there's a toxic individual and they're doing something that you know is wrong, that doesn't mean you have to be the one who calls it out, their prosecuting attorney and the judge who passes down the sentence. If they're not ready to receive it, if they don't have conviction, my advice is don't bring counsel. It's sort of four words that I use now: no conviction, no counsel. The idea is their heart ready to receive it? If not, then I want to go have a positive conversation. If it's that family gathering, maybe I'll go encourage a teen. Hey, how's life going? Maybe I'll go listen to an older person. Can you tell me about this or that? I want to have redemptive conversations. But it's very freeing to realize that just because we see a wrong doesn't mean we need to address it. Now, there are relationships, Tracy, where we are obligated to do that. I think with our loved ones, if we have responsibility for someone or authority over someone, certainly we don't want to shy away just because they may not receive it. We have the responsibility to speak the truth. It's just that we don't have to point out everything. Jesus let a lot of things go. He knew Judas was stealing, and yet he let that happen. He went that on. So Jesus focused on the positive mission, and that's what we should do as well. When he needed to, he would deal with the toxicity. I put it this way. If I'm driving down the road and there's a bunch of garbage on the side of the road, I'm not going to stop my car to pick up the garbage. That's not my mission in the moment. However, if there's so much garbage that I'm not able to drive my car through it, I'm going to have to park the car, push the garbage aside so that I can go forward. And that's sort of how I view my mission. Sometimes you have to deal with toxic people. Sometimes you have to be confrontational. Sometimes you have to have those difficult conversations. But it's really about whether it's required in the moment for that mission to be done.
That's Christian author Gary Thomas. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.